The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2pm with Sam Turner, John Babb and James Millman in the studio. It's Lingfield, Southwell and Newton Abbott on Wednesday afternoon, and we'll finish the day with all weather racing at Kempton Park. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to that action is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Good, Mark. Good, thank you. Good to be back. How are you doing?
All right, thanks. Not too bad. I had a week off last week and returned to work this week, and all of a sudden, the Lincoln is upon us. Then it's the National. It's the flat season's back. It's
flat racing is back. Yeah. You excited?
Yeah, I suppose I am. Yeah.
You a flat man or a jumps man?
I'm a jumps man, really, at heart.
Are you?
But it gets to this stage here where you're kind of ready for a bit of flat racing.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and we'll take a quick look ahead to some of it. Obviously, it kicks off with the Lincoln on Saturday. We've got betting on site for the Lincoln as well. It's a race your family will have pretty fond memories of, I imagine. James Hopkins and Monjol are the 11-2 joint favourites at the time of recording this. Sarwan is 8-1, 12s for Gabriel's Kakar, 14-1 for Hillbilly Boy and Muharib, 16s for Gabriel and Mondial East, and what about Carlo? And then 20-1 or bigger prices for the others. Do you have an opinion at the moment?
No strong opinion on the Lincoln. I haven't had an anti-post bet, Mark, nor do I think I will at this stage. The Lincoln's a fascinating race because I think William Haggis nutshelled it yesterday when interviewed in the Racing Post about it. It's a race that can suit a horse that's lightly raced because plenty of horses that run in the Lincoln are often starting their seasons off and are too high in the weights, will need the run or a few runs to come back down the weights. So often you find there aren't that many that are that well treated. But that said, you do get the odd battle hardened horse that wins the race. I mean, our two winners of the race, Blythe Knight and Levitate, they'd been round the block plenty of times. It just depends whether the trainers have them really, really revved to go or not. I mean, you've got a horse like GM Hopkins who could still be ahead of the handicappers. Same with Monjol. They're the two joint favs with us at William Hill. Is that right?
Yep. 11-2 joint favs.
You know, they could be open to any amount of improvement, as could Zarwan. He's probably the most interesting for me of those that are lightly raced. I think Zarwan has plenty more to offer this year as a four-year-old. Of course, was fifth in the Britannia last year at Royal Ascot as a three-year-old. He was then fourth in a listed race in July, I think it was, and has been off since. He maybe met with a setback, I'm not sure, but nonetheless, I'm sure Ed Dunlop will have him ready to go. There's quiet word building about David O'Mara's horse, Mondial East, having his first start for the yard. He's a 16-1 shot with us at Hills. He was purchased by his owners for €190,000 in the summer of last year. His owner, Jeff Turnbull, said in today's Racing Post that he was looking for a quality horse. He went and bought this fella, bought him and put him with a quality trainer. And he's hoping that he can do a good job for him and his wife before maybe standing at stud, at their stud, in a few years to come. Well, he's going to need to improve to be better than 105 horse. But if he is going to make into a small stallion, then he might well be able to shape in a race like this off 105. So, as ever, fascinating race. You've got the mix of the old timers coming back. Last year's winner, Ocean Tempest, it'll take a huge effort for him to win. But John Ryan's booked a good boy in Joe Doyle to take £5 off his back, although I think he'd probably prefer rain. You've got Bronze Angel topping the weights. What a fantastic year Bronze Angel enjoyed last season. Marcus Dragoning did an excellent job with this horse, you'd have to say. And then, as I said, there are the sneaky ones that we've mentioned that might be open to a little bit of improvement. And at this stage, the one that interests me the most is Zarwan, an 8-1 shot.
Okay, Zarwan then for the Lincoln this weekend. On a more broad spectrum, the flat season as a whole, any horses you're particularly looking to see out this year?
From our own yard, the standout would have to be the wow signal.
Yeah.
You know, we're very happy with him. He did just about everything we asked him last year, winning the Coventry at Royal Ascot, a pre-morning beating the Breeders' Cup winner in Hootenanny.
Yep.
He wasn't himself in France, but I think anyone looking at that race can see that. You know, he finished tailed off.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been worse had he finished fourth or fifth in that race, because then you could have argued, well, that's as good as the horse is, but he clearly wasn't himself that day. And we're really looking forward to getting him started in the Greenham in 3 weeks, 3 weeks' time, 3.5 weeks' time, 3 weeks on Saturday, I think that race is.
Yep.
He's training very well at home. The most important thing is that he trains on, and initial signs at home are that he has trained on. So that's a real positive. Now we go fact-finding. The Greenham is 7 furlongs. That will tell us more. We'll likely run him in the 2,000 guineas, and if he stays a mile, brilliant. His pedigree would suggest that he should. But if he doesn't, we know he's very, very good over sprint trips, and it will be no problem dropping him back down in trip. But the main thing is that he seems to have retained his enthusiasm for it, and more importantly, his ability.
Yeah, like I said, that last run was obviously just too bad to be true.
Mm.
Very exciting horse. And, pretty illustrious owners as well. Have you got any more from them this year?
The Al-Shakab Racing have sent us a two-year-old filly, as she now is, by Exceed and Excel. She's unnamed, but she looks to be quite a sharp filly, and I would imagine, Mark, that she'll be out in the early part of the season. So it was good to get another horse off them. This time last year, we'd none. None of their horses.
Yeah.
So to have two is very good, and certainly puts us in a stronger position than we were this time last year. And on the back of the wow signal, I think we were able to go and buy some nicer two-year-olds, nicer yearlings at the time, and we were able to pull in one or two new owners to the yard, which is always a bonus.
Yeah, so you got some nice juveniles this year.
I think so. As I said, we were able to give a little bit more money for them, which doesn't guarantee success by any means. But it means that you can buy maybe a nicer type of horse with a bit more pedigree. And certainly what we have is pleasing us. There doesn't look to be too much deadwood at this stage, which is good news.
Okay, good. So that's the ones from your yard then. Any outside the yard that you're really looking forward to seeing?
Regarding the Derby picture, I mean, that's going to become clearer in the next few weeks and months, but Aidan O'Brien looks to have a very strong grasp of that. I don't think there is. What you find, Mark, is when you're sort of working in your own yard, or as I am working in father's yard, you take very little interest or less interest in other people's horses than you might otherwise do. You're in your own little bubble, in a cocoon. And I can't say I've been paying a great deal of attention to too much that anyone else is doing. If I was paying too much attention to what everyone else was doing, I mightn't be paying enough attention to what we're doing.
Fair enough. Right, we'll leave that there then. Let's move on to Wednesday's action. Sean's picked out 3 races for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Wednesday. Sean's picked out 3 races for us at Newton Abbot, the first 3 races, so we're hopefully kicking us off to a good start on Wednesday. The 210 at Newton Abbot is the first one. It's a Class 4 maiden hurdle over 2 miles and 1 furlong. We have a field of 12 of them here, and I suppose Seven Nation Army is quite interesting given that he's got the experience, but he just keeps bumping into one.
He does. I don't think he's doing a lot wrong, and Tom George has taken him to some premier tracks in Sandown and Newbury of late, where he has been beaten, but certainly not disgraced at those tracks. Last time out at Sandown, he was beaten by a horse of Paul Nichols in Sirabad, who had benefited from a fitting of a tongue tie. He's due to be given a wind operation over the summer, but I know they've got high hopes for Sirabad, so I don't think Seven Nation Army lost too much in defeat that day. Prior to that, he'd been beaten at Ludlow by a nice horse of Nicky Henderson's in 1 for the Governor. That was maybe his least impressive performance of late, but his short-head defeat by Clean Sheet at Newbury certainly reads very well, with Great Try back in 3rd and Lorium 4th. That form has worked out very well, and a repeat of that that run would see him go close here. He wears a tongue tie this afternoon, as he has done for his last 3 starts. I wonder if connections might tinker with his wind as well over the summer. Paddy Brennan has ridden this horse in all of his hurdle races this season, but Dennis O'Regan has been booked to ride, and I think that's an interesting booking. Paddy Brennan is riding at the meeting. He's riding other horses for Tom George at the meeting. But I see that Dennis O'Regan rode another Roger Brookhouse-owned horse a few days ago in Woof, when Paddy Brennan was also riding at the same meeting. And I just wonder whether owner Roger Brookhouse has maybe snapped Dennis up on, if not a retainer, on some kind of gentleman's agreement to ride his horses, because Tom George is a big fan of Paddy Brennan's, and they've enjoyed great success together. So I can only think that maybe Roger Brookhouse has chosen the jockey himself, and no doubt Dennis, a very, very capable jockey, a top-class one. Of the others in the race, Global Thrill probably rates the biggest danger, although he shouldn't be good enough. Arguably, he was on his way to running his best race when he fell at Fos Las two starts back in a race won by Beast of Burden. He was eight lengths behind Beast of Burden when he fell at the last, but Beast of Burden is a very, very good horse on his day. And a repeat of that would see him hit the frame. Of the rest of them, a lot of them look like they're now playing out for handicap marks, don't they? Arantes, Mick Shannon's horse, has been given a handicap mark of 110. I'd say he'll be seen to better effect when he does go handicapping. Anthony Honeyball's charge, Act Now, he's probably the most interesting horse of the others. This horse was placed in two of his four bumpers and managed to win a bumper last time out at Plumpton over 2 miles and two furlongs on very heavy ground. I think that Act Now probably has some sort of future, this mare. Sorry, I did her a disservice there calling her a gelding, but she is a mare, a daughter of Act One. She's going to need to be pretty good to win on hurdling debut, but I'd imagine she'll be 1 foot for mares contests over the coming weeks and months, and I'll be looking to see how she shapes over hurdles on debut. But this is all about Seven Nation Army for me.
Okay, Seven Nation Army in the 2.10 at Newton Abbot. Then the 2.40 is the next race. This is a National Hunt Novices Hurdle, Class 4 event over 2 miles and three furlongs, eight of them in the lineup here, Sean. And you could stake a case for at least two or three of these.
Yeah, you could. This is a good race, isn't it? Or certainly appears to be a good race. Venetia Williams' horse, who heads the weights, Otago Trail, is a dual winner this season, having won at Carlisle and Wincanton. And I don't think he lost a great deal in defeat, despite being beaten at odds on at Ascot last time out. He was beaten by two nice horses in Thistle Crack and St. Charles. And he had two decent horses in behind him in Sirabad and Vinnie Red. Well, we just mentioned Sirabad, didn't we? Who's gone on to win at Sandown subsequently. So the form is working out well. And Venetia Williams will hope that her horse can get back on track here. But he meets fair rivals in the shape of Earth Moves, who has to put a disappointing run at Wincanton behind him last time out. He pulled up. That was clearly too bad to be true. And he's been given 55 days to get over that. Paul Nichols fits him with a tongue tie as well this afternoon. That would suggest there was maybe something amiss with his wind, or certainly that his jockey that day, Nick Schofield, might have queried or questioned his wind. We'll see how he shapes. David Pipe's got an interesting stable debutant in Point to Point and Bumper, and Maiden Hurdle winner, rather, sorry, Drumley Lad. This horse was bought for $52,000 by his owner, Roger Brookhouse, after winning at Down Royal on Boxing Day on heavy ground. He meets with better conditions today. He's going to need to improve, but given that he's only had the two starts to date, Mark, I don't think that improvement is inconceivable. He's a son of millinery out of a Rosalia mare, so you'd imagine in time he might be suited by a little bit further than this trip of 2 miles and three furlongs, but that remains to be seen. And finally, one we'll give mention to is Adam Dubreteau, who was a Drumahan point-to-point winner around this time last year. He ran in three point-to-points, fell, unseated his rider, and then finally got his act together to win at Drumahan, one of the Premier Jumps tracks. Was bought by John Joe O'Neill in April of last year for £280,000. So an awful lot of money he was bought for. He just shaped okay, truth be told, on stable debut at Wetherby back in January. That race was won by the experienced Kyle Moore-Lock, and Nick Nam was third. It wasn't a bad race by any means, but he looked to have got tired, and I would imagine he should improve for that run. So it'll be interesting to see how he shapes on this occasion. Otago Trail definitely sets the form standard, but I do expect Adam Dubreteau to shape better, Mark.
Okay. The final race we're going to look at is the 3.10 at Newton Abbot. This one is a Class 3 handicap chase over 3.25 miles, and seven of them in the lineup here, Sean. Which ones do you like?
I thought this was a very open race. Sarok put in a lesser run last time out behind No Duffer at Sandown. This race probably represents a slight drop in class from that, but I still think he needs to improve to be winning. Fabre Arga has enjoyed a good season, winning two starts back at Utoxeter. Was pulled up in the Grimthorpe chase at Doncaster last time out. I'd say his mark is probably high enough now, 1-2-6, although the handicapper has dropped him 3 from Doncaster last time out. Graham McPherson's Achimota is in very good form, having finished 4th behind Champagne Ryan at Donny 2 starts back. He was a winner at Bangor last time out, beating Good to Know. On heavy ground, as we said earlier, this surface at Newton Abbot should be riding quicker than that, and a lot of his best form has come on quite soft ground, so that might be a slight worry, although 3 starts back, the ground was officially good when he won at Donny. He might just be a versatile type. Golden Chieftain hasn't looked the same horse this season. Of course, former Cheltenham Festival winner. But he's really not lifted a leg this season. And whilst the handicapper is dropping him now, he's down to a career low nearly of 124. I'd like to see something from him on a race course that signals a revival before passing with some hard-earned and backing him. Velator took a step back in the right direction when finishing second behind William Money last time out at Kelso. I don't know, is he good enough, though, to win this? Big Society was disappointing last time at Exeter when 4th of 8, beaten 54 lengths, though. He was a beaten favourite that day. Ballypatrick down the bottom couldn't be ruled out entirely on some of his form that he showed this time last year. In fact, this time last year, he was 4th at Newbury in a very competitive handicap, won by Roalco Defarge. Off a mark of 124. He's now racing off 114. He pulled up on his reappearance after a break at Exeter last time out, but the ground was very, very heavy, and he may just have needed that run. He could be worth siding with at a price, Ballypatrick. I'd imagine him to strip fitter for that run, and his mark of 114 is very attractive, Mark, and he should be a price.
Okay, so you take a chance on him?
Yeah, I would, yeah.
Okay, Ballypatrick in the 3.10. Let's have a quick summary, Sean, if you'll spin us through your selections for Wednesday one more time.
Yep, sure thing. In the 2.10, the maiden hurdle, I'm going to stick with Seven Nation Army. In the 2.40, I'm going to go with Venetia Williams' horse, Otago Trail, but I'm very interested in Adam Dubretto. I think he can prove himself to be a lot better than he showed on stable debut at Wetherby. And in the 3.10... the feature race of the day from Newton Abbott, the handicap chase, the staying chase. I'm going to take a chance with one that should be a decent price, Ballypatrick. He's becoming well handicapped, and this seems to be his time of year based on past evidence.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Sean. Good luck and enjoy on Wednesday.
Thanks, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Sean Quinn on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 2 p.m. with Sam Turner, John Babb and James Millman in the studio. We've got this meeting from Newton Abbott. We've also got Lingfield and Southwell alongside that in the afternoon. And we'll finish the day with all the racing under the floodlights at Kempton. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.